Seeking God's face is seeking his favor. That's a King James term, that's King James terminology for seeking God's divine favor and smile of approval. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Praise God. And boy, when that sunshine breaks through that cloud of doubt or despair or sickness or financial need or family trouble or whatever it is, there is sunshine in our soul, and you can feel it. The other morning we were out fishing. Finally, boy, it was boisterous. It was cloudy. It was cold. And about the time it was time for the sun to come up, there's a big, thick old cloud over, and it didn't get a bit warmer. It got colder, I believe. But about an hour or so later, the old clouds began to dissipate. The vapors began to fade before the strength and the warmth of that big old ball up there 93 million miles away. It pierced through it and come right down there on our jackets that we had on to shed the water. And my Lord, that poor man's jacket began to feel so good we couldn't hardly stand it. You tell me you can't feel the Lord when his sunshine begins to come on you, when you've been cold, when you've been thirsty, when you've been sorrowful, when you've been miserable, when you've been sick, when you've been in need, when you've been in distress, when you've been in trial. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows his smiling face. How do you get it? By praying through. My Lord, have mercy. When you pray through, you're going to have joy and peace as a result. You're going to have calmness. When you put your trust in the Lord, there's going to be the smiling face of Jesus to break through those clouds, and his sunlight is going to appear in your heart and soul. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, this is a wonderful scripture beginning in verse 12. God says, "Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." You'll find me when you search for me. That's what God invented prayer for. He invented prayer. They didn't any church invent prayer. God invented it. In verse 14, he said, "I'll be found of you. When you search for him and seek with all your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." See, "I'll turn away your captivity, and I'll gather you from all the nations and all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I'll bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. If you turn to me, whenever you're in bondage, whenever fear comes upon you, like David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from what? All my fears." Praise God, when you get rid of fear, you're going to have calmness. Lord, have mercy. When Jesus was crossing the sea in the 4th chapter of Mark, the Bible said he was on the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Praise God. And there arose a storm, a tempest, and the wind was tempestuous against that ship. And it began to be filled with water, and he didn't even wake up until his disciples awoke him. Isn't that a lesson for you and I? We have to awaken him. All right? It don't mean he's asleep, but we have to get his attention. And many times he makes us wait to try our faith, our trust, and our patience. And they begin to call on him, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he stood up and rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. And he said, "Why is it that you are fearful? Where is your faith?" Faith and fear don't live together. They just cannot operate together. You've got to get rid of that fear. "Seek the Lord," David said. And if David got delivered, then you can seek the Lord, and he will hear you, and he will deliver you from all your fears. That will absolutely, it'll just completely keep you in shock, that you'll be paralyzed in every effort you make to use that faith that you mustered up for these kind of situations that life's going to be full of. "Man that is born of a woman," Job said, "is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a fowl and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not," in Job 14, 1 and 2. In Job 5 and 7, he said, "Yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." If we know these things are common in life, if we know our expectancy is going to be trouble, that the common denominator of life and everyone, we equally face troubles. It is not the amount of trouble that overcomes us. It is the manner and the trust in which we face these problems of life that makes the difference in the response and what results from these troubles. Some people wring their hands in despair. Some go nuts. They haul them off in a straitjacket, take them to the insane asylum or some clinic. Others, they got pills for a chemical solution to everything. Boy, they reach for the bottle. Some of it's liquid, some of it's pills, some of it's shots. They got it in all kind of forms to ease the pain and the fear of the situations that arise because of the trouble that God has warned us would come to your life and mine in the form of sickness and sorrow, in the form of financial distress, in the form of business cares and social cares and worldly cares and family cares and spiritual needs. All of these things are common to every person. Every man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Every one of us has it. But God has given us a resource, and that resourcefulness must be applicable to your life and mine individually. You cannot live on the prayers of someone else. God's resource is prayer. And that means real prayer and praying through until you find God. Now, you may cry out when you find God, but you've got to permit people, if they have to cry, to cry. If they're going to get out and wring their hands to find God in quietness, but their heart is speaking, you've got to permit them to find God in the manner in which they can find Him. We must find God in times of stress. Oh, our nerves will collapse under the pressures of this life. Life is a wonderfully complex problem. Until someday, as the Holy Spirit comes upon us through the Word of God, we get a revelation that we can make life quite simple in spite of these things we know is coming. Never totally simple, but always quite simpler, because we find the answer what we should do in preparation in the Word of God. When the worries and cares of the day begin to wear upon you and I, and we chafe under the friction, it's good for you and I to stop, to pray and get calm. Stop long enough at least to rest for a minute. And in quiet prayer and meditation, let calmness and peace assert themselves, and Jesus will help you. Is that old song we sing out here so wonderfully? I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus will help me. And Jesus alone. Praise God. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a pill. You don't need a chemical solution. You need to stop and pray through until you find His blessed face smiling at you. Praise God. And when you pray through, that means you pray until He touches you. You don't get up until that stress has been broken, till the fear subsides, until that pain has become a little more tolerable to live with, or it has been removed by the hand of Jesus. You've touched Him. You've prayed through. And praying through is the secret of the success of any Christian that you look at that lives victoriously over the flesh, over the world, over sin, and over the devil. Praise God, we can live above these problems of life and not live beneath them if we learn to pray through. Oh, praise God. We all have these old irritating problems, and all the praying you do is not going to keep them from you. You're not going to pray them out of the way either. If you let these irritating outside influences get the better of you, you're just confessing your inferiority to them because you let them dominate you. And God don't want these things to dominate your life and mine. He wants to control our lives. He wants to be the Lord and Master, the captain of the ship. Read on the back of a car some time ago, one of those little taped on, stuck on placards. It says, Jesus is the pilot, I'm the co-pilot. Praise God. That's what our life's got to consist of, Jesus being the pilot, and we're just the co-pilot. So now we're sitting there, and all he wants to do is mash a few buttons, you know, turn on a light and we're the lights of the world, you know, light up a little bit. Or to sit there and keep company with him. He likes our company. And once in a while we look over and can't see him. That old seat looks empty there. Where there ought to be some hands on them wheels and gears and things. Brakes. Praise God. And we're tempted to jump over in that seat and take over. That's just when we get in trouble. And that old ship of life begins to hit the, it's not even turbulent. Lord have mercy, you just don't know how to steer like he does. You don't know how to fly like he does. You don't know how to dive. You don't know how to navigate. Praise God. We ought to put on there, he's the navigator. Put on the other side, the aggravator. Because we aggravate him. Down like a truck. Or agitator. Why did I bring that aggravator with me? I don't know. But anyway, son, get up here. I'm going to have to teach you to fly. Maybe one day we'll be the pilot and he'll be the navigator. There's one thing about it. He must pilot me. Jesus, pilot me. Over last stormy sea. Praise God. We've prayed through and done our best. And many times, in these trials, in these little things that irritate us and make us misbehave and fret and rant and rave. Like an old sign along the road some years ago said, does your husband misbehave, rant and rave and I forget just how it went. Said, shoot the brute some Burma shave. Praise God. Well, that's what the Lord has to do for us. He overrules our best at times to try us. And we get out and try to pray our way out of it. Hey, Lord, I don't want to have to do this. I don't like this. And he don't say nothing. I don't want to go through this fire. He don't say anything. I don't want to be sick. He don't say nothing. I don't want to be broke. He don't say nothing. He just lets you stay broke or stay sick a while, stay in a mess. And you say, Lord, I prayed. Yeah. I've done my best. That's wonderful. You need to tell him. You read over there in Isaiah 38 how Hezekiah, he looked at the Lord. Prophet come in and says, Hezekiah, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. Well, that's bad news, you know it.